The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
You know, we're really in a time of God surprising us. You know, just what he did with the altar today. It's Bill Hammond, a prophetic guy from Florida, very well known, you know, prophesied a couple of years ago, he said he believes we're entering into the time of a third great awakening. Now, for anyone that doesn't know, historically, great awakenings is when God has swept the earth, really. And it's different than a revival. Revival is reviving the church. Awakening is the church and the lost. And I've got a heart for lost. Of course, many of you do. We have a heart for lost, and that excites me. And you know, it's that pressing in. Okay, God, let's go. What does that look like? Well, part of it is just understanding who we are. Finney talked about that. Revival is understanding who we are in Christ. We get revived in that truth. In that understanding, in that knowledge. So, I want to just share something this morning. I'm just going to share some scriptures, and then we're going to pray at the end. I'm just going to take us on a little journey. I love looking at, when I study the Bible, I like looking at the whole Bible and try to, you know, God's love story. The Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, that love story. And I like to look at the whole thing. So go ahead, put that picture up. I want to show you guys something the Lord showed me, or I feel he showed me. That's not too bad. Can you guys see that okay? How does that look from back there? It's a little bright. Yeah, maybe if someone wants to hit the lights for a minute. That's better. I don't have one of those fancy pointers. Henry's got one. I meant to get it from him. But this is, for anyone that doesn't know, this is out of the Old Testament. This is when God wanted to dwell with his people physically. Okay. I just saw the glory of God start to come down. It just got me excited. So anyway, you can do this. Okay. So anyway, this is the time of Moses in the desert. And that's the outer court, that big outside fence. And of course, if for anyone who doesn't know, that's where they brought animals to sacrifice, and there's a laven. And then that tent, that's kind of what I want to point at. That tent in the back, it's opened up so we could see in, but that's normally closed. And the Bible says that they could see a cloud by day and a fire by night. You actually have one?
Just don't hit any other buttons or you'll blow the room.
Oh, cool. I got a toy. Thanks, Henry. He's a great guy. So anyway, this would be all enclosed, and the Bible says that there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. Could you imagine that, living in that time and seeing that? Could you imagine seeing God? I mean, the manifest glory of God. And the Bible says that they were to move whenever the cloud moved. So, and in right here, this front part's called the holy place, and the backside right here is called the most holy place, which the priest could only go once a year. I mean, that's when God's total manifestation of his glory was, and without the blood of Jesus, we cannot take, you know, sin can't dwell in that glory. So if you were to enter there, other than the priest once a year, you would die. I mean, isn't it amazing what we have now? I guys, I just look at this all the time, just go, wow, God lives within us now. I don't even claim to comprehend that. I know that I know He lives within us. The Scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure right there now dwells in here. And maybe some of you don't feel God in your heart, and you have to do it by faith. I'm here to tell you, just keep going. Just keep going. It's a process. You know, probably about 2008, after many, many years walk with the Lord, I started to feel His presence within me more in a greater measure than ever. It's just that process. And it's He's worth running after. So you may be here today and may have been wounded, and you just don't feel, like some people say, I feel God. Or you see Ken get up and, you know, laugh and act silly. And, you know, just keep going. I'm here to, that what God did here today, I was trying to think, am I off a little bit today? Because, like, the meeting took a whole different, you know, road than I thought it would take. But no, we need to be free to feel that presence. Because God was so hungry to be amongst us. He's hungry for us besides us being hungry for Him. He wants fellowship. So all that time, and then from there, in the time of David, if you read your Bible, in the time of Solomon, is all the time of the tabernacle. I just happen to have a picture of this one. So, but 40-some times, this right here, where God's dwelt, was called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this is what I want to show you with this. You're probably going, where's, besides God dwelling in us, where am I going? Because I want to show some outward movement from us in this. This is 40-some times is called the Ark of the Covenant. And inside of that, Ark of the Covenant was the rod of Aaron that budded and showed almonds. It was a miracle. And it was God showing everyone that Aaron was the guy. It's a sign of authority. Also, the almonds had budded, a sign of provision and authority. But a sign of authority. In that, in there were also the Ten Commandments, which we're to live by. Now, we in the New Testament have the law of love to live by, the law of love in Christ Jesus. And in there was also a third thing, the manna. That's so amazing, because the manna they'd go and pick and eat in the desert, and if they kept it more than one day, it rotted. But they could pick it on the night before Sabbath for 2 days and have enough for their Sabbath, and it didn't rot. And they could put it, the manna, I don't know how many years they had that jar of manna in that tabernacle, but it never rotted. It's just amazing. But it's a sign of provision. So there's just so much, you know, so much to focus on Jesus Christ. And we could just talk the whole time on that. But there's something I saw that I want to share. And I did a word study on it. 40-some times, this is called the Ark of the Covenant. But 13 times, God uses another word. And that's always kind of intrigued me. And I'll get the scripture. It's Exodus 25. We'll just start with that. 25:22. And God was speaking to Moses. He says, "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you." This is Exodus 25:22. "And I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat." That right there is the mercy seat. From between the two cherubim, and those two angels you see on that tabernacle are the cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. That has intrigued me, that God 13 times in the Bible calls that the Ark of Testimony. He calls it 40 sometimes Ark of the Covenant. Why all of a sudden is he calling it the Ark of the Testimony? The English word testimony. And I look back at the Hebrew word. Hang on, I'll pull this up here. Whether you want to know all the Hebrew stuff. It's the Hebrew word is eduth. Eduth is the word for testimony. I thought, what an interesting word. Why? You know, I do this. Why? Why is it a translation problem? Did the translators translate wrong? You know, first I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. The Ark of Testimony. When 40 some times it's been called Ark of Covenant, but a few times God says the Ark of Testimony. And five times in the Bible, this tented area, now this is normally called the tent of meeting, but five times it's also called the tent of witness. But it's the exact same Hebrew word, but we translate it witness. Same word, witness, Ark of Testimony. I thought, that is really, what's that all about? So, and the word testimony, that eduth that I shared, is actually means a place for the law, a covenant box for the law. But there is a feminine part, I don't know Hebrew that well, but there's a feminine part of it. The first part is ad, however you say it in Hebrew. Ed. Ed means testimony to share. And it crosses over, you know, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. Let's go to that. Let me cross over New Testament here. Shukubama haha. We're going somewhere here, so just Acts 1:8. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That Greek word is the same word as testimony is in the New Testament. It's witness and testimony are interchangeable in the New Testament. And that Greek word is martyria, if you want to know. But that's not what we're after, is witnesses. So, what's this all mean? Where am I going with this? Okay, let's put this together. We've got, for some reason, God is using Ark of Testimony, Tent of Witness, okay? And he uses it in the Old Testament, and it crosses over into New Testament. You're going to be my witness. They gave testimony to the glory of God in Scripture, it talks about. Now God, in the New Testament, comes and lives within us. So no longer is he in an earthen vessel, or a vessel of gold or whatever tent. He lives within our hearts. Now we become that mobile ark. We become the glory carriers. Amen? Okay, now that ark, we're that Ark of Testimony. We're that place of witness. Scripture talks about Moses was so bold in this, he actually had another tent. I was just looking at that. He had a tent he put on the outside of this and went and stayed at, and he called it the Tent of Witness. He just named it. And people would come to him and witness to him and minister to him. And that's where Joshua hung out. Okay. What I have seen, where I'm going with this, what I have seen, there is power in the testimony of the works of God. There is a glory when we share who we are in Christ. There's something released in the spiritual realm when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe the gospel, we really don't have any idea how powerful the gospel of Jesus Christ is. I believe it's so powerful. It literally brings transformation to a land. As people go out and share the gospel, I believe the sweetness, the glory of God, as we share the glory of God, as we, the ark of testimony, the tent of witness, who we are in Christ, when we go out and share who we are, it does something. I've seen it in different lands. You just watch anywhere where the gospel is opened up, where people start to go and share. That's why a lot of times you see miracles in other lands. They're sharing. They're street evangelizing. The gospel, we're seeing it in Minneapolis. There's more evangelism, street evangelism, and more harvest going on in the Twin Cities and surrounding areas than I haven't seen in years. You look at the numbers of some of the churches that are God is really moving in, doing evangelistic outreaches. The numbers are staggering. There's something going on in the spirit realm. And I feel like God wants to impart that to you. That's part of the reason why today he wanted to break off fear. Because fear of man is our biggest hindrance. That's what I struggle with. I don't know about you guys, but that's... That's what I struggle with, is that fear of man, fear of rejection. But if you just get a hold of that, what that does, it's amazing. You share the gospel within your family, you share the gospel in your neighborhood, there's something sweet about it. There's something glorious about it. There's something that dates back to this. Now, you may have a hard time tying that together, but I believe there's a reason why God called it the ark of testimony and or an tent of witness. I believe that we are to become that ark of testimony, that ark of witness. When I went to the Ukraine, I was doing meetings at services, and at the end of the service, they had me do an altar call. Okay? This is going back 14 years ago. And I would do an altar call, and I'll tell you, it was mechanical. It was hard for me to, I was supposed to preach the gospel and have people come up and receive Christ. And it was so mechanical. I'm being transparent here. I did not have the anointing for it. I had the anointing to see refreshing come to the body, but I did not have the anointing to see people come to Christ. I mean, to preach the gospel and I just do it mechanical. Okay, now come up. And they'd come up. I mean, they'd line up. Okay, God was honoring it. That was what was happening at church. But and so then they wanted me to do a stadium event. And about, I don't remember the year anymore, 2005 or 6. Greg goes, well, we want you to do a stadium event. This is a soccer stadium, and it's about 2,000-3,000 people. Like, open air, okay? And I'm like, okay, and the same thing, but 200 some people, 300, I don't remember, a lot of people came to the Lord. But I'm just up there, I mean, there wasn't a passion or anointing. So I thought, and I'd watch other evangelists and it seemed like they'd be so passionate. So I started to cry out for an evangelistic anointing. I just went after God with God, you've got to give me a heart for event. You've got to, God, and I don't remember how long I prayed for this. A year, 2 years, I just kept after God. God, me. So then 1 year I went back to the Ukraine. We did another stadium event, but I more so remember in church, even this year. This year, when I was there, they had quite a few people come up at the Sunday service. But something happened. See, when the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes, and this is what I'm believing God for this church, we're going to, at the end of the time, we're going to pray for impartation for evangelism, to be a witness, to be the ark of testimony, to go out, for anyone that wants that. We're going to pray for some impartation, because when the anointing comes, it gets easier. That's that grace. There's such a grace on our lives with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit imparts, when God imparts that grace, we can do things religiously and mechanically. But boy, when that grace comes, God is so worth running after. The anointing is so precious, so worth running after. It's so sweet when God imparts something to us. Carrie and I pray for people for deliverance here and there as the Lord brings people. And in the 90s, that was really difficult. Now, I had an anointing for it, but maybe just a partial, I don't know what I had. But, you know, we would pray with people. We could never quite figure out what was going on. They would shake and go to the ground and get delivered. And then all of a sudden, and I didn't even ask for it, but in about 2000, Paul Cox lays hands on me. I was out in California, and that's his ministry, his deliverance. And God imparted to me the anointing that's on his life, or parts of it, however that works. Well, all I know is I started moving in the same gifting as he did, and all of a sudden, deliverance was so easy. It was just so easy. It was just like, let's show up and be with God, and God shows us what to do, and it was just so wonderful. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of that anointing. That's what, when Jesus says, you'll receive power from on high, and you'll be my witnesses. That's what he's talking about. But anyway, I didn't finish. So this year, when I was in Ukraine, I had such a heart for the lost when I did the altar call, when I preached the gospel. I had such a heart of compassion. And then you could feel, now all of a sudden I felt faith. I felt by faith pulling on heaven. And I could feel God's heart for these lost. And as people came up to receive Christ, oh my gosh, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. I mean, and it will be next year again, to see people come to Jesus, to see God, the glory manifest, start to come in a person's heart, to see them purchased with the blood of Jesus. It's the most marvelous thing in the world. And it wasn't 100 people. It was, I don't count, 15 I think it was. But I don't care if it's 3. And then when they came up, I was going to say the prayer, and it's like God was saying, no, there's more. I mean, I could feel God's heart now pulling on the people. Oh, it was marvelous. So I said, we're not going to pray the prayer yet. There's someone else that's supposed to come up. We're going to wait. If the Lord's pulling on you, come on up. You know, it's all through a translator. And there, actually, 2 more people came up. I go, yeah! So, I mean, that is so wonderful. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the most precious. I guard that anointing with my life. I do. It is the most precious thing in my life, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I watch what type of TV shows I watch. Everything as far as holiness in my life, how I think, and don't get me wrong, I screw up, okay? You know, I say things sometimes I shouldn't say or think things I should, but boy, as best I can, you know, sometimes I fast just to kill that crap in me, you know? That'll do it. You don't eat for 3 days. It'll take care of, you know, I haven't done that for a while, but I'm not eating. I haven't ate much yesterday and today. Why? Because, you know, I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to that anointing. I want to be sensitive to what he wants, not what I want. So, but I live that life of holiness because it's so precious to me, what God has given me. And yeah, in a moment we can do stupid things and offend the Holy Spirit. We all do that. But I'm just saying, it's precious. What Jesus offered us You know, in Acts, I have read this scripture over and over and over and cried out and cried out and cried out to the Lord, because I have felt like such a powerless Christian for so long. And Jesus is saying, but you shall receive, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. I don't know about you, but so many times I have felt so powerless. And I'm like, Lord, but you said we'd receive power. You said you'd receive power. Shoo. Just keep going after it, you know. And when you get power for one area, you'll probably see another weakness, and just keep going after God. If anything, I'm here to encourage you to go after God. Go after what He has. Shemahati kumanaka. Boto mashiti maha. Ota makata pashata. Opapa pashata taha. Ha ha. There's some of you saying here, not me. I'll never be a witness. And the Lord is saying, yes, you shall if you believe me. Yes, you shall share your faith. I just heard the Holy Spirit. Shamak yaton mana makotriyana mashaha. But the Lord says, I can change you in an instant. In a twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. Mashaha ha ha. Shu. Ha. Whew. Just receive that. One-on-one witnessing. I'm going to be really transparent here. One-on-one witnessing has been the hardest thing in my life. My wife says, well, you're so bubble, you know, whatever. You know, I may act that way, but you get that fear of man. You get into that arena where I want to share the gospel with someone. Oh, my. Yeah. Leslie's going, you know, make it face. Yeah, that's the face. And you, when you're sharing the gospel, I've seen this many times, when you come to that place, there's spiritual warfare around this person, and you walk right into that. That's why we have to understand that gospel is powerful, and it'll bring the anointing, the power, and the glory on that person. It'll bring deliverance to them. When my brother witnessed to me when I was younger, I don't remember the scripture he shared, but he shared a scripture, and it absolutely pierced my heart. I'll never forget that. He opened up the Bible, you know, and it just absolutely pierced my heart. On Thursday evenings, a lot of times I go down to Miracles in the Marketplace, a meeting in Plymouth. And Craig Nelson leads it, and Carrie and I hang around with those folks a lot. And there's a guy named Warren there, and Catholic guy. I don't know if he's still Catholic, but whatever. I think he still calls himself a Catholic guy. But Warren is probably the most successful one-on-one evangelist I've ever seen in my life. There's such a... He's 81 years old. So if you think you're too old, just chuck it, okay? He started 6 years ago, okay? He got an impartation from the Holy Spirit. And, well, there's two. Vivian Krebs is the other one. But I want to have them actually come out to our church in the near future. But I just think that's something we need to keep training and just keep getting impartation for. But that anointing came on Warren, and it became a passion for him. He told me, he's got a buddy he goes out with. He goes out with a friend, and I don't know how old that guy is. Maybe he's 80, or they're both about the same age. But they go out together. And you got to meet this guy. He's very humble, okay? He does not boast, but he says, I was talking to him, and I just asked him lots of questions, you know, and trying to understand, what do you say to people? Because he goes to U of M, street evangelizing. He does street evangelizing. He's been kicked out of, is that the Catholic school? He got out in the play yard leading young adults to Christ, high school kids, and he got kicked out of there. But he's just... He's got such a demeanor, it kind of undoes. He's just very, you know, and you know, the silver hair thing, you know. And Warren, he says, it's nothing for us to lead 20 people to the Lord when we go out. You just can't say no. I could feel it when he's talking to me. It's like, I couldn't say no to this guy. You can feel it. There's such an anointing there. So they'll lead probably 1,000 to 1,400 people a year, him and his buddy. And I said, well, what do you say to people? He says, I just walk up and say, have you ever considered Christ? And just see what they say. You know, and he just goes from there. And Vivian Krebs, who's in her 60s, by the way, I don't know if she'd want me sharing that. Sorry, Vivian, if you listen to this. But anyway, but she's a doctor's wife. I'm sharing the age because young or old, it doesn't matter. Okay? Young or old, we're called to share. We're called to be that ark of testimony. Now, I'm not only... Let me say something. Let me put a pause button. I'm not only talking about sharing the gospel. I'm also talking about giving testimony to what the good things God has done. See, that whole arc, God was saying, I don't want you to forget what I've done. That's why they carried the manna. They carried the rod. They carried the tablets. I don't want you to forget what I have done. I don't want you to forget the miracles. Chris Olson is a guy that got healed of a brain tumor many years ago. He's a good friend of mine. 20 years ago? Early 90s. A group of us prayed for him. And then like 3 days later, he just had this experience of God. And he had is going to go get operated on. And he told the doctors, you can operate, but it's not there anymore. He just knew that the tumor was gone. Big tumor. Actually ate a hole in his skull. It was one of those big ones. And they're going to try to operate on it. And they opened him up and the tumor was totally gone. But to this day, now he does financial planning. I just put a plug in for him. He does financial planning. To this day, he shares that testimony over and over and over and leads people to the Lord over, or not, at least gets them on a spiritual side. Because they can't argue with what God did for him. That our testimony, being that ark of testimony, not only sharing the gospel, sharing the good things of God, what God has done in our life, is so powerful. If we go out here and we start sharing testimonies, just keep doing it. It's going to change this entire region. I know it will. I have scripture to back it up. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out 70 or 72. 72? He sends them out two by two, okay, to go to cities and share. It says share the gospel. They shared the gospel. They prayed for the sick. They healed the sick. The power of that. And they came back. And Luke chapter 10. We'll go to it real quick. In whatever city you enter, they receive you. Eat such things that's set before them. That's not the scripture I want. Well, anyway, they came back. Oh, here. Then the 70 is 70. Verse 17, 10:17. Then the 70 returned. So 70 went out and went from city to city. We don't know if a group of them went to one city or if two just went to each village. I'm not sure. All it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now get what Jesus says. They're going out, okay? These guys were going out carrying the glory of God. Okay, given testimony, speaking the word of God, even though the Bible wasn't even written, they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about the Messiah. They're talking about the anointed one. They're telling them the good news. And Jesus says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The power of darkness fell over these regions when the glory of God came. Mark chapter 5, I'll give you another example. Mark chapter 5. I love this story. The Lord showed this to me. He crosses the sea of Galilee. And he's going to Gadarenes. And when he steps foot on Gadarenes, I mean, the demons in that region went crazy. And that's the story of the guy with the legion of demons coming to him, if you know the story. And Jesus casts it out, and the demons get to the pigs, and the pigs go over the cliff. But the Lord showed me, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Testimony, the glory of God, stepped foot on that land. Why did those demons know? We're way up in the hills. The Bible says that guy was way up in the foothills. Why did they know? Why did they come running? Because glory stepped on the land. Because the testimony, the Ark of Testimony, the Ark of who he was. And he's given that to us now. He went to heaven. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I won't leave you. I'm going away. I'm leaving you orphans. But I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. Now we have that same thing. God told Joshua, wherever the soles of your foot shall lie, step. Wherever the soles of your foot shall step, the land belongs to you. Folks, we have such authority in Christ. Whew. Revival for us is just understanding who we are, that truth. Oh, my. It's amazing. It's amazing. Shoo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I said earlier, it was one of the hardest things for me to do is share. Now, sometimes God just comes on me and it's easy, okay? I have times where it's easy. But a lot of times it's just not easy. And I just do it afraid, you know? I have a desire to do it. And I mess up a lot. I had a stucco guy at our house last week. Was that last week? And, you know, I know the guy. Hadn't seen him in many, many years. And Steve was his name. And, you know, I thought, I mean, if we really believe in hell, if we really believe in eternal damnation, I don't know if he's saved or not. He could be. But a lot of times the construction trade, they're not, okay? And, you know, so I was kind of building up to it. We're chit-chatting and talking, you know, and you look for the little bridge, something spiritual. Like, I went on a missions trip. You know, if you ask me, what have you been doing this summer? I said, I went on a missions trip. Well, that's an opportunity to go there. What about you? So I had the opportunity. I missed it. I just chickened out. I'm being transparent. I chickened out. So I thought, I'm praying, Lord, give me the bullet. So I'm coming around again, okay? And then his phone rang, says, I got to go. I thought, Lord, give me another opportunity. Many times, and I'll finish with this, many times in evangelism, you could turn the lights on, the house lights on. No, we're okay. You will find when God wants us to share, it's not an opportune time. In fact, it's probably inopportune time. And that's where I've realized I've got to slow my life down because I've been missing opportunities. Well, you know, God, you see the door open. You see the door open, but you're going, but I don't have time right now. That's probably the Holy Spirit. I'll share a quick story. I was back from a trip somewhere, and we're flying from Chicago to Minneapolis. I think Carrie was on that flight, but we didn't get seats together. You know, it got messed up, and so she was over there, and I was over here. And a gal sits down next. Now, I'm thinking in my mind, I hadn't had much sleep, so I don't remember where I was. Maybe you weren't with me. Maybe it was a missions trip. And I was really tired. I planned on sleeping. I was really, really tired. I thought, okay, I get another hour and a half sleep before I get home. Okay, so I get refreshed. I was really tired. And I sit down, and this gal sits next to me. It's like when she sat down, I knew. I just knew. Little Italian gal, kind of, I could tell she's a little bubbly. And make a long story short, I just said a couple things to her, and she just started sharing her whole life with me and ended up leading her to the Lord. Okay, yay, God. But it was not an opportune time for me. I was tired. And even as I started, my mind is going, I'm so tired. She's talking. I don't want to listen. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit kicked in, and I got wired up. Okay? So I trusted God. So many times it's not an opportune time. The other thing I want to share, I always thought when God wants you to share with someone that he would prompt you. I'm just being transparent here. You may think, what an idiot, okay? But that's what I thought. Some of my biggest problems is I'm over spiritual. I'm just sharing. And so I thought, well, if God wants me to share with someone, he'll prompt me. So I just look, I'm going around. But the Lord taught me that day. He says, Ken, I'll make opportunities for you. It's up to you to grasp the opportunity. So now I don't look so much for prompting. It's wonderful when the prompting's there. It does come. But sometimes it's just an opportunity. And when that opportunity is there, and it takes guts. I'll tell you right, it takes anointing. No fear. You can't have fear, man. Just, you had all that fear of rejection. I mean, everything comes at your mind. The fear. Now, some of you here have a personality for it, and it's easy for you. I'm talking to us that I grew up in high school and grade school. I was very shy. I was a really shy kid. My nature can be shy, and I know you don't see that, but I can be very shy, and I've got to almost come against that which can be natural to me. I just got to, it's like every time I see pictures, stand at the edge of a cliff, and just, okay, here we go, and you just say those first words. Where are you going to go when you die? Or however that opening is, or have you ever considered Christ? Shoo. Hallelujah. So, Shakaya moko papa palami shakyato maha ha ha hako ho ho makatata shoo. So we're all in this together. Ever watch the Red Green Show? We're in this together, okay? And I'm rooting for you, okay? And I hope you're rooting for me. And so what I would like to do to finish this today, if your desire is to receive an impartation, God has given me evangelistic impartation, even though I still struggle with some one-on-one evangelism. I do have an anointing for it. But with the calling on my life, I have seen God impart gifts to people that I don't have. I've seen over and over. So whether I have everything I should have, but I would like anyone that wants a greater anointing for evangelism, one-on-one or stadium or however it looks, why don't you just come on up and let's pray for that. Anyone that would desire that. Hallelujah.